Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Superman Sunday episode, and today I'm going to be talking about Action Comics number 1009. It's from a writer, Brian Michael Bendis. We have art by Steve Epting, colors are by Brad Anderson, and letters are by Rob Lee. This is the third part of the Leviathan Rising story arc with this mysterious antagonist Leviathan taking out the clandestine organizations of the DCU. We've seen them take out the DEO, Department of Extranormal Operations, as well as Task Force X and Cobra. So where it goes from here, it's all kind of up in the air. We don't at this point know who Leviathan is. Obviously, from the Grant Morrison run on Batman, you know, it's the organization started by Talia al Ghul. Whether Talia has anything to do about it is something that we start getting hints about in this particular issue. So it starts off, like I was talking about last episode, with one of those splash pages where we see so much information and again, Bendis likes to do these things, and I kind of enjoyed them at first. They were kind of like an inside joke with all this information that Bendis throws out there, kind of like a recap. We know when Bendis was over at Marvel that he liked to do those recap pages. Dan Didio was never a big fan of them at DC. So whether they come back now that Didio's gone, I don't know. I guess we'll see. But I don't understand why Bendis feels the need to do them, and I guess this was sort of a compromise, right? Like, DDO didn't want them. Bendis wanted them. Well, what if instead of putting it inside the front cover, we do a sort of visual summary and kind of jog everybody's memory with what's going on, what has been going on, as well as some captions and some word balloons that help explain. So that's what we have here. It is Superman actually looking at one of his informational screens in the Fortress of Solitude, and we see Amanda Waller, Task Force X, whereabouts unknown, communications offline. We see another screen that talks about the DEO and how they've been wiped off the face of the earth, basically, and other screens talking about Argus being gone, explosion in Columbus. So again, it's just a way to recap and kind of remind everybody of what's been going on. But it just feels so unnecessary at this point. I mean, the way Bendis structures these stories, it's, you kind of have to start at the beginning of a story arc anyway. So, you know, you're not, it's not new reader friendly. So you would have a hard time just picking up this issue and understanding what's going on. If you read long enough, you'd get caught up, because that's the way comics work. But I say all that to say this, I think these pages they're tired at this point. They've worn out their welcome. Give me another page of actual story, because this is not really recapping. I would, at this point, rather have a summary page like we see in the Marvel comics. You know, put a paragraph on there, put a piece of artwork, put the creator credits, and I'm fine. I'm good. Because this just seems silly. It seems like wasted real estate in stories that already feel like Bendis is stretching him out like crazy. You know, I've never been the biggest fan of his writing, and we've debated back and forth on what came first, the popularity of Bendis or the decompressed storytelling. Did the decompressed storytelling gain popularity because Bendis, that's the style he used, and his books sold great, like Ultimate Spider-Man? Or is he just a product of a certain time when all of a sudden trades and trade waiting started to become a thing, and so he kind of morphed his style toward that direction? Was he already a decompressed storytelling kind of person, and it just happened to coincide with the rise of the trade paperback? I don't know that's an answer or an argument that can ever have an answer, but it's very frustrating for me, because again, at this point, I just feel like you got to give me more story. You know, and especially because when Bendis took over the Superman books, they went from being twice monthly to monthly. I'm fine with them being monthly, but Bendis is better suited to writing biweekly. Give me the two issues a month, because then I feel like I'll get as much storytelling as a normal comic writer gives me in a single issue. It's kind of like The Walking Dead. You know, you go along with episode after episode or issue after issue where nothing happens, and you start to get kind of bored of it, and then they cram everything in, like on the last issue of the arc or the last episode right before the mid-season finale or what have you. So it gets a little frustrating. Anyway, as we get into the story, we do find that we are at the Hall of Justice, at the Fortress of Solitude, the new version of it, the one that's in the Bermuda Triangle. And Amanda Waller is there, Jimmy's there, Lois is there, Superman is there, and Lois is kind of yelling at Amanda, telling her, "I know you're awake," and she's saying, "Ah, just give me a second, I'm trying to get my wits." Like, "Oh yeah? So when's it going to take you? Like, how long's it going to take you? When this is over, you can go to hell." And Clark's like, "Calm down, Lois, calm down. You know, you can let her know that you're in my new Fortress of Solitude inside the Bermuda Triangle. And, you know, we this is my home, basically, and we're going to treat her nicely." And Lois is like, "Yeah, well, just try not to let everybody know where we are." And then, you know, that's a dig on the fact that Amanda showed up at their apartment blurting out, "Hey, Superman." You know, she shows up at the apartment of Clark Kent blurting out, "Hey, Superman, I need your help." And Lois is like so angry. She's yelling at Waller saying, you know, he after everything he's done for you, he's saved your life. And I'm not talking about the times he has, you know, saved everybody on the planet. I'm talking about personally, the times he's personally saved your life. And Amanda's like, "Okay, wait a second. So I did make it to your apartment before I passed out?" And Lois is like, "Yeah, you did. And you blurted out for everybody who could hear about how Clark and Superman are the same person. You're betraying a secret that you don't even have the business of knowing." And I love it. Amanda's kind of like, "You know what? Can we put out the big fire that is Leviathan first, and then we'll talk about this later?" And Lois says she's just not having it. And I do appreciate that Lois feels this way, because this is the way I would be with Amanda Waller. Like, "Don't give me any of your crap. I think you're a garbage human being, and I'm not going to put up with it." And that's basically what Lois is saying. Like, this is what's important. And we found out when push comes to shove, you'll lead the bad guys right to our front door. And again, Clark's trying to play the peacemaker, saying, you know, "Calm down, calm down." And she says, "I know, I know." And then again, Amanda Waller being a garbage human, "Miss Lane, you're being an infant. Of course I know the biggest secret to the biggest weapon on the planet." Again, I have to go back to, who is this person? Like, Amanda Waller, she's only gotten more and more on my nerves lately, because Lois is right. She doesn't have it. Like, who the hell does she think she is that she deserves to know the secret to the biggest weapon on the planet when that weapon is Superman? You don't trust Superman? I understand Waller doesn't trust anybody. But again, she's just a terrible person. That's just the bottom line. Nothing redeeming about her. And at this point, like I was saying on the last episode, I don't even think she's a good character. I don't like anything about her. And I don't even think the character, like, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be, right? Like, she's a character, and the way Bendis is writing her, like a character you love to hate, like you can't stand her. She does despicable things. She makes the hard decisions and you know, keeps us safe because she's the one willing to take that all on herself. No, I don't buy that. I think not only is she a garbage character that you can't do anything but dislike, I don't think she's well written. I think it's too far down the path of the tropes. I don't think she works in today's culture. I just don't, you know, the whole angry black woman who brought herself back from nothing, it's demeaning in a way. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be those cliches that, you know, she grew up poor and, you know, she was abused and, you know, she's whip smart and she's got this big chip on her shoulder. I just don't think it needs to be that. I think that we can come up with a better character that's a little more culturally relevant, a little more of today. And I'm perfectly fine with it being an intelligent person of color. I have absolutely no problem with that at all. You know, a female person of color, that's fine. I have no problem. But I think that just systemically, during the time she was created, it was a different time. And so many of the characters grow and evolve, right? Like we hear about Batman killing. That's one of the big ones that is always on everybody's mind. Now, Batman doesn't kill, and, you know, he would never use a gun, and because his parents were, you know, murdered by somebody with a gun. And you look back to the Golden Age Batman stories, the first stories of Batman, he did carry a gun, and he did kill people. And that changed over time because society changed over time. Well, I think it's time for Amanda Waller to change. I think it's time for this character to, I don't know, to be rebooted or just to be taken off the stage completely and replaced with somebody who's a little more culturally relevant, who's a little more of today. And maybe I'm in the minority here, but I just think she doesn't work in today's day and age. In fact, there's a Twitter poll going on right now about this because I'm curious what other people think. It's been up for a little while, and I think only one person has responded, but they responded with kind of the same way I feel about her. Garbage character, shouldn't exist, ready to move on from. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox about Amanda. She's going to be in these issues because it's Leviathan and it's the clandestine organization corner of the DCU, and she's the, you know, super spy and the one that knows where all the bodies are buried in. So I guess I just have to get over it and put up with it. But I do think it is silly that she thinks that she has the right to know. She doesn't have the right to know any more than anybody else that Superman is Clark Kent and Clark Kent is Superman. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter at this point because we know Clark's going to reveal that soon anyway. But I appreciate Lois calling her out on that crap. So anyway, Lois then changed the subject to, why don't you just tell us what you and my father have done to have caused what's happening right now? And Superman is kind of giving an update. The Hall of Justice is on lockdown. Star Labs is being told to go on lockdown. Batman's MIA. So Amanda starts to tell them about how she met up with Sam Lane and they were attacked. And, you know, sorry if it sounds paranoid, but this is twice in 2 days that somebody's tried to kill me. And Lois is like, wait, you're with my father? I just saw my father. Where is my father? And Amanda said, oh, Columbus, where I left him. You know, again, why? I mean, she's supposed to be on the side of the angels, right? She's supposed to do good. She's the one that shot Sam Lane and caused him to have a heart attack and then just left him. Just left him. So again, she's just not a good person. And, you know, Lois is like, wait. So why didn't you tell me about my father when you first barged in the front door? She said, oh, he's safe, but we weren't. And so she asked Clark. Clark immediately flies off to check on him. And Lois is like, my father, so help me, woman, if he's not okay. Amanda has a flashback. She's thinking about how she shot Sam Lane, and even though he had the force field. And again, shoot first, ask questions later. You know, she suspected it wasn't Sam Lane, I guess, or she thinks Sam Lane had been turned. But she's the one that caused him to have a heart attack. And then I guess apparently she saw Leviathan show up. And then shortly after that saw some emergency medical professionals show up. And so she thought, okay, well, whoever Leviathan sent spared your father. And then I saw him basically being attended to by medical professionals. So I figured he was okay. And I went to three different Argus safe houses. But even to disguise, I was ambushed by every one, which told me that Argus was completely compromised. I didn't need to try another one. I promise you guys were my last resort. I was like, yeah, so it's still not okay that you come and blurt out Superman's secret identity on our doorstep. So if you saw Leviathan, who is it? Who did you see? And she said, well, I saw tech that I didn't really understand. And, you know, I was kind of distracted by all the chaos and having been attacked. And I don't know what I saw. And Lois says, well, so where are you getting Leviathan from? And Amanda, ever being the spy, ever trying to keep the advantage, keep things close to her vest, changes the subject saying, sorry, where did you say I am again? Fortress of Solitude, Bermuda Triangle. And Lois knows exactly what she's doing. She calls her on it saying, don't be paranoid. You came to me. I'm not Leviathan. So you came to me. You came to my father. And Amanda says, well, as far as I know, he's in protective custody at Columbus General. He's getting the medical care he needs, and he's safe. You're welcome. And that's just a bridge too far for Lois. You know, you shot my father. You caused the heart attack, which Lois doesn't even know that aspect of it because Amanda's glossed over that completely. But this condescension of hey, I did your father a favor kind of thing, after everything that Lois has just done for Amanda Waller and her, you know, risking Clark's secret identity, it's too much. And Lois does what all of us wish we could do, and she punches Amanda Waller and knocks her out. So that's pretty awesome. And Lois kind of hurts her hand in doing so and cries out, which wakes Jimmy up, and he kind of looks around, and like only Jimmy can do, he takes it all in stride and asks, is there any coffee? Yeah, I just woke up from this long nap. Meanwhile, Superman shows up at the hospital in Columbus, verifies that Lois's father is okay. There, guarding her father in the room is the Question. And Superman notices him and says, well, I'm happy to have a detective's brain on the case. What do you know that I might not know? And Question says, about Leviathan? Well, not much. That's kind of the million-dollar question here. You know, I was chasing the mystery behind the Cobra Cult massacre, and I keep hearing this word Leviathan, and that only leads me to Argus, which then in turn led me here, but I don't have any answers. It's just it's a big puzzle. Unless you're Leviathan and the answers come walking through the door, probably not, you know. And Question realizes that, but he does mention something interesting. He's like, you know, I've seen these attacks on these organizations on TV. I've seen video footage of it, and I noticed there's not a lot of bodies. Do you notice that? Superman's like, wait, bodies? What do you mean? He's like, you know, not to sound too old school detective like, but when I don't see a body or let alone bodies at a crime scene, you know, it opens up a lot of questions. I like there to be a body. That makes sense. If somebody's murdered, you want there to be a body so you can use that body to find clues, and it makes sense. Leviathan's attacking all these organizations and people are just disappearing. There's no bodies. There's no clues. So Superman says, you know, this might be a big one. This might be a really big case, a really big event going on. And I'm trusting you to try to keep Sam Lane safe. I'll send the Wonder Twins as backup, but I really got to go, and I'll keep an ear out if you need me. So he flies off to the headquarters of Leviathan, at least the Leviathan that he knows, in the mountains of northern Japan, the former base of Talia al Ghul. And when he gets there, everything is abandoned. All there is a chair left with a note on it that says, we want the same thing. And it's signed Leviathan. So, well, Talia al Ghul, right? Is she behind this? She is Leviathan or has been in the past ahead of Leviathan. So nobody knows Talia like Batman. So Superman's next stop is to go to the Batcave. Batman's not there. As Superman mentioned earlier, he's missing in action. Superman does leave the note that he found on the chair in Talia's headquarters for Alfred to analyze. And he asks Alfred, you're aware of this DEO Cobra situation? And Alfred says, yes, of course. He said, well, is Leviathan taking responsibility? And Alfred says, Talia? And Superman says, yeah, I know. It doesn't feel right, does it? And Alfred's like, no, not in the slightest. You know, I'm no fan of hers, but her brand of madness is certainly a different sort. So, big mystery. They're using the name Leviathan, but is it Talia? Doesn't sound like it. So, Superman then heads to the location of the DEO to check in on what's going on there. He finds Bones trying to dig up survivors, and he tells Bones, you're wasting your time. There's nobody down there. I can see with my X-ray vision. There's nobody there. You're not. There's nobody that needs to be rescued. So please, Director Bones, take my hand. You're needed elsewhere. And Bones is kind of distraught. He says, "Who did this?" And when Superman says he doesn't know, Bones calls him a liar. He's like, "You know everything. You've got super hearing, super eyes. You got to tell me who did this." And Superman's like, "Man, this guy's out of it. He's not going to be of any help." And so he decides to leave Bones to his own devices. As he flies away, Bones yells at him, you know what, if I find out that you or your Justice League or anybody knew anything about this, God help you, alien, and God help your cousin, you know, he's gonna make Superman answer for it. So again, it's clear that Bones is just distraught over losing all his people, and he needs to calm down. He's not going to be of any use to anybody until he does. So meanwhile, it looks like Amanda Waller has awakened from being knocked out by Lois. And she's talking about how it's terrorist 101 to find out the why. Obviously, they don't know who's done this. They don't know who's behind Leviathan. But if they can, and if they can't solve that part of the mystery, if they can't solve the who, if they solve the why, if they can answer the question of why this is happening, it might lead them to who it is. So Superman shows back up as Jimmy and Lois and Amanda are having this conversation. And Clark tells her, hey, your dad's okay. And he's safe. Have you guys worked out your frustrations? Lois says, nope. We just have too much work to do. So they're trying to decide what the next step is. And Lois thinks, well, Spiral? And Jimmy's like, man, so many different organizations, right? Spiral and, you know, the DEO and Argus and the CIA and Cadmus. There's just so many different organizations. And Amanda says, well, there's not any chatter from Spiral. And if Spiral as a group is untouched, that would seem pretty suspect. And so Lois says, well, what is your relationship with Spiral? Are they close to you? Are they close to Task Force X or Argus or the DEO? And Amanda says something interesting here. She says, well, Spiral tends to keep things pretty close to the vest, even for my taste. Now, Amanda Waller plays things closer to the vest than anybody. So I think it's a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black there. But it's clear that that's one of the organizations that she doesn't have a lot of information on. She doesn't really have an in, as it were. She doesn't know that much about them. So Lois turns to Clark and says, Chaz. And Superman kind of ignores her, and he's saying, well, I checked out Spiral's headquarters in England. It's cleaned out, just like Leviathan's headquarters is cleaned out. And Lois again says, Chaz. And Jimmy and Amanda look at each other like, Chaz. And Clark just looks at Lois, and she says, Chaz. And Jimmy's like, wait, what do I know a Chaz? Like, what are you talking about? So Clark says, Lois, can I talk to you over here? And Jimmy's speculating, Chaz, maybe that's Superman's real name, like when he's not Superman. But it's weird that she just blurted out like that, which is, I think, a subtle dig at Amanda for showing up at the apartment, which Jimmy knows nothing about. You know, he's totally passed out at the time, totally asleep. But when Lois and Clark get by themselves, Clark's again assuring Lois, hey, your dad's going to be fine. There's armed guards outside his door. His heartbeat was perfect. And Lois is like, you got to get Amanda out of your fortress. And Clark's like, did you punch her? And I love it. Lois plays it off. But only in case she was Leviathan this entire time. Like, eh, I don't think she is. Well, just in case. Me and you undercover. And that's where this Chaz comes in. He's like, Lois says, things are nuts. It's time for Chaz and Andy Donen to come in for them from the cold. So apparently who Chaz and Andy Donen are, they're actually agents of Spiral. So Clark says, Chaz, really? You know it only lasts an hour. And Lois pulls a box out from somewhere, and it has apparently gold kryptonite. And Superman's like kind of grimacing, apparently it's distasteful to him what's about to happen. And so he says, okay, open it. And Lois takes the lid off the box. It must be a lead-lined box. And there's what looks to be gold kryptonite, but it's shaped in a stylized. It's not just a hunk of rock. It's shaped into like a pendant-looking thing. And she says, you know, I didn't invent this kryptonite technology. I just love that we have it. And then she says, hi, Chaz. And when you turn the page, Superman's, I think his features are supposed to have changed, but they haven't changed that much, not as much as they should. He, you know, his nose is much broader. His brow's a little thicker. His hair is longer and curlier. He has a full beard. And I think he should look much different than Superman. But just like last issue, the Steve Epting rendering of Superman's face, this entire issue just looks wrong to me. He looks so much older than he should. The art in this issue reminds me a lot of the last issue, where it's just, the lines are a little too heavy. Everything is a little too clunky. And I haven't enjoyed the art in the last couple issues at all. Lois doesn't look anything like Lois either, either before the gold kryptonite or after. I mean, the gold kryptonite didn't affect her at all. But it has changed Superman's appearance. And then he's on a cell phone saying, hey, code word Hamilton Bartholomew. This is Chaz Donan, agent of Spiral, reporting for duty. We saw the news. We're scared. We need to come in. We need a location pickup. And Lois is saying Leviathan. And in the blurb for the next issue, instead of saying Lois and Clark, agents of Spiral, the Lois and the Clark are crossed out. And it says Andy and Chaz, agents of Spiral. So apparently, somehow, some way, at some point in the past, Lois and Clark went undercover. Lois, without any disguise, I don't know why people wouldn't recognize her. She's a world famous journalist. But Superman or Clark's entire appearance has been changed by this gold kryptonite and or Kryptonian technology. Kryptonite technology is the way Lois explains it. Because I think, I mean, maybe it's not gold kryptonite. It's gold, and she calls it kryptonite technology. But I always thought gold kryptonite took away powers permanently. But whatever the case, this kryptonite technology allows Superman to change his appearance, and he makes him look, I don't know, a little maybe Middle Eastern or Greek. Yeah, it definitely changes his look. And I guess Bendis thinks this is a really cool trick, and it's very Silver Age. It's very nonsensical, and in my mind, very stupid, for lack of a better word. Like, I guess, you know, Bendis is pulling out all the stops. He never gotten a chance to write Superman before. So let's throw something in there that's kind of kooky and kind of from left field and just kind of out there that harkens back to the Golden Age. And look, Superman, it's not just a power that he has, like shooting a mini Superman out of his fist or super ventriloquism or any of those other kind of crazy Silver Age ideas. No, instead it's kryptonite technology that allows him to change his appearance for 1 hour and look completely different. To me, it's just kooky and silly, and I didn't really care for it. He does it right here at the end of the issue, so I'm sure people think, oh, that's, you know, the coolest thing, and I can't wait to see what Superman's going to do in this disguise. No. I don't like it. I think it's dumb. I don't like the way that he looks. When the heck did Lois and Clark have time to become agents of Spiral? That makes no sense. So makes sense in a crime noirish way, I guess, if Superman were this some sort of street level character. But just like I've talked about tons of times in this Action Comics book, Bendis is trying to make it a crime noir book / Superman book, and it really doesn't work for me. Like, why not? If you're going to tell a story like that, then Bendis, why didn't you work on The Question? Then it works perfectly. Why wouldn't The Question be able to disguise himself as an agent of Spiral? All that works perfectly. But for Superman, with all his powers, to choose to use some kind of kryptonite technology, change his appearance, and go undercover, like I said, way too Silver Age for me, way too kooky, not a big fan of it. And not a big fan of the fact that not much happened in this issue. Like, that's it. That's the last page. That's where it ends. So we get Superman flying around to a few different places, checking on Sam Lane, checking on Talia al Ghul, dropping the note that he finds on Talia's chair off to Alfred at the Batcave, and then he's back at the Fortress of Solitude. And we get a couple pages that it takes for Superman to change his appearance. So what really happened in this issue? Well, yeah, not much. The Question showed up for a couple panels. We determined that Amanda Waller is as terrible as we've ever thought she would be. And we found out Superman's got some crazy kryptonite technology that allows him to change his appearance. We also got a couple pages recapping what we already knew about Amanda Waller shooting Sam Lane. So, again, I have to go back to Bendis. Stop writing these decompressed stories and give us some actual story. Like, this is the whole Action Comics narrative for the entire month. Like, no wonder the sales haven't been great. It's simply not a very good story. It really isn't. And I actually got some comments on the last episode. There are some people that are enjoying it, and I'm glad. I'm really happy there are people out there that are picking up Superman and enjoying it for the first time. I know there are Bendis fans out there that haven't ever been fans of Superman, they're now picking it up. And I do appreciate that we're getting more people reading about the Man of Steel, and maybe these are the kind of stories they want to read. But to me, it's not really a Superman story. I'm I'm interested enough to keep reading, and it's Action Comics and it's Superman, and the idea of cross-pollinating a crime noir story with Superman is an interesting one. I don't think I particularly care for the way this is going, because this whole Leviathan thing seems way too complicated and way too convoluted, and it just doesn't work for me. I'd much rather, if you wanted to tell a Superman story, crime noir, I'd much rather he would have had something out of continuity, I don't know, like a, call it Superman noir even if you want, set it back in the 40s or 50s when there is no Jonathan Kent, so there was no son you had to artificially age up or down or whatever. There is no Clark and Lois relationship, at least not, they're not married. So, you know, all the things that Bendis seems to want to do with Superman, which is just tell solo Superman stories and even get silly with Silver Age ideas like changing his identity, they should have totally done that. That would have been so much better. Tell Superman stories from yesteryear with Bendis where it's out of continuity, so he can go as wild and crazy as he wants with any kind of crazy Silver Age idea, or flying off into space, or, you know, Lois is still trying to find out the secret, that kind of thing. I don't know why Bendis, you know, I don't know if he insisted or it was DC editorial that insisted, no, let's have you take over the regular Superman books in continuity and tell some stories. I mean, maybe they thought they could catch lightning in a bottle, but it's been a while since I've read anything from Bendis that really, like, I thought, oh, that's amazing, that's great. I mean, maybe since Ultimate Spider-Man. Now, granted, I'm not a big Bendis fan, as I said, so it's not like I've read everything between now and then. Some of his Miles Morales stuff I did enjoy, I guess. But yeah, I'm just not really sure where it's going. It seems like it's the same old problem I have with Bendis storytelling so often, which is it just seems to take forever to get anywhere. You know, I'm not a fan of spending $4 on a comic and I'm done reading it in less than 5 minutes. It just doesn't work for me. But again, it's not to say there's nothing redeemable about it. The idea, the big idea of Superman mixed with crime noir is an interesting one. I just think the execution falls down a little bit. And when we have spectacular art, I'm willing to let it slide. But unfortunately, the art in this issue doesn't really do much for me. It leaves me a little cold. I think it's even worse than the previous issue. At least last issue, we had a couple of double-page spreads where the line work was super fine, and I felt like it kind of redeemed. The art redeemed itself. I mean, there are a couple of pages here that I don't mind. The one where Superman's flying out of the Fortress of Solitude looks cool. There's another double-page spread with a lot of panels, just like the one I was talking about last issue. There's a couple of those. One in the Batcave, and then another when Superman's talking to Bones. They play a little better. Again, it's smaller panels, so it's finer lines, and it just seems to me that's when Steve Epting's artwork works the best. Also, the page with the question is done really well. I think the moodiness and the shadow and the texture that Epting is bringing to the art works really well for the question as a character. So those are probably my favorite pages in the whole book are the ones with the question. So I know Epting has it in him, but again, I just don't know if it's a deadline thing or the fact that he's inking himself, why the art doesn't look as good as it should. And the biggest problem I have with it is Superman's face, just like I did last issue. It doesn't look like Superman. So the color works good from Brad Anderson. Especially love the pages that are in The Fortress of Solitude. A lot of blues, a lot of whites, and you certainly get that feel that you're in a cold place, which is interesting because now The Fortress of Solitude is in the Bermuda Triangle, but it still is that kind of cold and antiseptic looking crystal construction that we associate with the Fortress of Solitude, either from the movies, the Christopher Reeve movies, or the comics like we've seen in the past. So I love that even though it's the Fortress of Solitude in the Bermuda Triangle, it's still very reminiscent of the old fortress in the very cold Antarctic. So it's a decent issue, but not enough happens. I think if you put issue 1008 and 1009 together, you'd have a decent chunk of story, and I think it easily could have been done. You could have compressed the story down in everything that happens in these two issues, you could have compressed it down into one issue, and that would have been a much more satisfying read, because you would have felt like you really got somewhere. You would have seen Amanda and Sam Lane attacked, and you would have seen the resolution of it. You would have seen Clark go out and start investigating. So it would have felt like you got a little more story. But the fact that we were getting like two half to three quarter issues in each of these instead of feeling like a full issue, it's a problem for me. It's a problem. You know, I only get one Action Comics comic every month, and I want it to be good. I want it to be satisfying, and it hasn't been that. And I'm trying to enjoy it. I'm trying to take it for what it is. You know, Superman crime noir. Okay, like I said, maybe that can be an interesting concept, but I wish they would have. It would have been more interesting to me to set it back in the 50s. Even go corny and bring the crazy gold kryptonite pendant and let Superman use that to change his identity into a gumshoe, right? Doesn't look anything like Clark Kent. Doesn't look anything like Superman. Runs a PI, you know, think Sam Spade kind of story. I don't know. That would be kind of fun to see, to do an Elseworlds story like that. So that, to me, that would have been more interesting. I'm not sure why this had to be in continuity, had to be in present day, why Bendis couldn't have just done his own thing on an out-of-continuity Superman book. I think we all would have been better off in the long run. But anyway, that's just my opinion. Don't mean to go on a rant and make it sound like this issue is terrible. It's not terrible. But again, I'm just not that big of a fan about what Bendis has been doing with Superman lately. And it's not even so much the big ideas, because like I've said, that idea, Crime Noir Superman, can be interesting. Maybe it wouldn't be my first choice or even in my top 10 of choices of a Superman story I'd like to see, but at least it is something. It is different. But the execution is letting it down a little bit. So that's kind of my thoughts on Superman 1009. Obviously, on the next episode of Superman Sunday, we'll be talking about another Superman issue that came out recently. It's actually Superman number 9, the more superheroic or spacefaring title of the two from where Bendis is coming from. And then we'll circle back with Supergirl with issue 27 of that, and then we'll come back to Action 1010 following those. So appreciate everybody listening as always. Make sure you let me know what you thought of the issue if you had a chance to read it yourself. Either reach out on social media or you can leave comments on the webpage. So thanks for listening as always, guys, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.